And welcome back to No Time for Neutral. I'm your host, Georgia Hawthorne.
And I'm Andy.
And boy, oh boy, has it been a weekend. We are finally potentially seeing an end to the government shutdown. Over the past weekend, a group of 8 Senate Democrats joined with Republicans to reopen the government and fund government agencies through January. So funding will run out in January, and we will be at the same crossroads again, of how to fund the government, hopefully in full, instead of doing these mini resolutions to fund us for a couple of months, and then we have the same fight over and over and over again. But the concessions that this group of Senate Democrats received was back pay for federal workers, which you would think would be a given, but over the course of the shutdown, that was one of the things that Trump was threatening to withhold, was that he wasn't going to pay federal workers at the end of all of this. So Senate Democrats got that in order to reopen the government and to reinstate people, federal workers who were fired during the shutdown. Because again, not something you're supposed to be able to do, but something that the Trump administration did anyway. And alongside those two things, they received a promise from Majority Leader John Thune to hold a vote on extending ACA subsidies in December. Speaker Johnson has not committed to holding anything similar in the House. It doesn't feel like we got a whole lot. We made this fight about healthcare and we got, yeah, guys, we'll do that maybe in December. And I'm not in the business of trusting very many Republicans at the moment. So maybe they know something I don't, but.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack here. I mean, we've been in this shutdown for, what, 43 days now?
Something like that.
And, you know, the hill that at least we thought the majority of, well, still the majority, but Democrats were going to die on was healthcare, Obamacare subsidies, to ensure that folks that needed those would continue to get that.
Right.
You know, there's 8 Democrats that you, like you said, are compromising with this package and will allow it to move forward into the House. But yeah, that kind of let that, go by the wayside, at least as far as I know, which is, you know, led to a lot of pushback from our own party.
And I think it's hard because, like, we did have to, like the government had to reopen at some point, right? Like, it's not like the government was going to be shut down forever. Like, air traffic was getting really bad. They were grounding flights and, like, restricting airspace. And, like, with Thanksgiving coming up, which is a major airline holiday, I'm sure there was some pressure there. Like, we had to get this thing open eventually, but I don't really agree with the way we did it necessarily. I wish we would have gotten something a bit more tangible on healthcare, because at this point we have nothing other than the word of a guy. But I mean, there's been some talk about whether or not Chuck Schumer is the guy to be leading the Democrats in the Senate. We see this conversation come up every now and again. Sometimes it's for a reason, sometimes it's for age, but some form of this conversation happens quite often. But there's a lot of people who are mad, like you were saying, in our party. They're mad at the 8 Democrats for quote-unquote caving. They're mad at Leader Schumer for not being able to keep the caucus together. And I think it's notable that the 8 Democrats who signed on to this are all moderate, and none of them are up for re-election anytime soon. 2 of them are retiring, and the rest of them aren't up in 26. They're up in 28 or 30. And so it's easy, I guess, to make those kinds of decisions when you know that you're not going to be the one facing the political consequences.
Yeah, it's a wild time. You know, I don't necessarily have the answers.
No, I pay attention to politics. I don't think anyone does.
This one's a tough one, you know, like we as Democrats are in the far minority, you know, like we keep saying this when talking about this discussion, like, you know, is it a Democrat shutdown? Is it a Republican shutdown? Well, yeah, it's obviously a Republican shutdown because Republicans have majorities in the House, Senate,
Right.
and Donald Trump is the president, right? So, like, Democrats have the least amount of power. However, they put up a very good fight for 43 days. However, I think the vast majority of us wish the outcome were different.
Yeah,
And at the same
I
time,
think
like
that's
you
pretty.
said, we do need to eventually, you know, come to the table and reopen the government so people can go back to work and, you know, our airports are safer. Jeez.
Right.
But yeah, I really hope speaker or not speaker, Majority Leader Thune, you know, doesn't go back on his promise, if that's what it is, for, you know, us to make a plan for healthcare, because healthcare is a human right. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like, there's not a whole lot left to do. Like, if you're upset, by all means, call those 800s. Let them know that you're upset. Do that if that's how you feel. But like, at this point, we are on the fast track to the government being open by the time this episode goes online. So the government is going to reopen, and we can complain and we can be upset about how it all went down. But there's not much we can do about it. What we can do is figure out what we're going to do moving forward. And the way I've been thinking about that is just what you were saying. Republicans are the ones in power. They have majorities all the way across the federal government. And now we just have to force them to own that power. The government's been shut down, and the House has been on vacation for like 50 days, not in session, not taking votes, not doing a goddamn thing. And
Exactly.
they can hide behind that because they were able to hide that because of the government shutdown. They were able to say, ah, well, the government shut down. There's nothing for us to do, blah, 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 blah. Like, we can't do anything about any of this. And now that the government's going to reopen, they have nothing behind to hide behind. People are
Release the
picking,
Epstein files.
literally, people are picking health insurance plans with these insane premium rates because subsidies have not been extended. And so, come the new year, when people have to actually start paying these rates, they get to ask their Republican majorities why they let these prices skyrocket. And Republicans are going to have to own their decisions to the American people.
They will. Yeah, it's heartbreaking. Like, they're literally playing politics with people's lives when it comes to
Yeah.
healthcare. It's a sad deal, truly. And so much of it is purely pettiness. Like, you know, of course, this is what Trump wants because he wants to get back at Obama for being successful, because Obama's his biggest nemesis, right? So, like, it all comes down to Trump and his pettiness, in my opinion.
And we'll see what actually goes down when it comes to what Congress is going to do about healthcare. On the House side, it seems like Republicans are not all that into the idea of taking a vote on subsidies. But I also have not seen any kind of a real plan to like fix healthcare from the Republicans either. So I'm not sure what the issue is. They don't like
Yeah.
the Democrat plan, but they don't have one of their own either, which
Even
is.
Marjorie Taylor, whatever her name is, MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's been saying that Republicans don't have a plan, an alternative
Yeah.
plan. If they were to completely scrap Obamacare, they don't have a plan. Quote
Yeah.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
And it's unfortunate because like people are gonna feel the pain of a government that doesn't know how to govern, but we've been saying elections have consequences, and this is just going to be one of them. But yeah, by the time this episode goes to air, the government will probably be open again. The House is scheduled to vote tonight. And although House Democrats have said that they're going to continue holding the line on subsidies, they have no real tangible power to stop anything from passing in the House. So we'll more than likely see the government reopen by the time we get up in the morning tomorrow. But yeah, longest government shutdown in history.
Crazy.
Let's not revisit this chapter. But yes, as we mentioned, now that the government will be open again, the House of Representatives and Ryan Zinke and Troy Downing have been forced to do their jobs again. Sad for them. Because they also face a huge problem. And that would be the Epstein files.
Oh, tell us more.
So this kind of got dropped out of the narrative because of the shutdown. The House wasn't in session, so there wasn't anything moving on the petition. The government was shut down, so that was taking all of the headlines. But don't you think we've forgotten? Because we have not. Now that the House is back in session, Speaker Johnson is, he kind of has run out of time. He has to swear in Adelita Grijalva. She was elected over 50 days ago. Her entire district did not have representation throughout the entire government shutdown.
Which is crazy and unethical.
Right. And she couldn't even like help her constituents, at least not through like the official channels. It's not like she had access to like a government email or like agency databases or anything like that to actually help her constituents. But that's besides the point at the moment. Speaker Johnson has said that he's going to swear in Adelita Grijalva today before the shutdown vote, which sucks for her. That's a horrible way to start your time in Congress, having like being delayed for that long, and then you get to take a vote that is essentially pointless. You have no power to stop it, and you know that it's just going to raise premiums for everybody. So I feel for her. She's been put in a really tough situation with this Congress. But she also holds a lot of power. Because the reason she's been delayed, the reason her swearing in's been delayed is because she's promised to be the 218th vote on Representative Massey's petition to release the full version of the Epstein files. Which is why they've been out of session throughout the shutdown, so that like they don't have to swear her in, she can't sign this petition, they don't have to release the files. Time's up, Mike. Because also
Fantastic. So what happens once they vote? Then it goes to the Senate, right? And they have to put it to a vote.
I'm honestly not sure because it's a petition. It's called a discharge petition. So I believe what happens is you have to have a certain number, you have to hit a certain threshold of signatures on the petition, and then it will go to a vote on the floor. And what I've been seeing in the news is that there might be a huge wave of support for it once it hits the floor. No
Interesting.
Republican is going to stick out their neck and sign on to it right now, but once it hits the floor,
They'll have a change of heart.
people are kind of expecting that there will be a lot more support to release them than we're seeing right now. But also this morning,
Big
right
news
on
this
cue,
morning.
the news cycle said, "Oh, we forgot. You thought we forgot? You thought we forgot? Here's six headlines about the Epstein files." Good morning, everyone. House Democrats dropped some absolutely bombshell emails that they've acquired from the various Epstein investigations, and all of these are connected to his personal email, or at least one of his personal emails. In 2011, Jeffrey Epstein wrote to his partner, Ghislaine Maxwell, and said, "I want you to realize that the dog that hasn't barked is Trump, dot, 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 a victim's name, spent hours at my house with him." Boom. Named and shamed. Email to Epstein's friend Michael Wolff to Epstein about a potential Trump CNN interview in 2015 when he was exploring his bid for the presidency. In 16, the friend Wolff said, "I think you should let him hang himself. If he says he hasn't been on the plane or to the house, then that gives you a valuable PR and political currency. You can hang him in a way that potentially generates a positive benefit for you. Or if it really looks like he could win, you could save him, generating a debt. Of course, it is possible that when asked, he'll say that Jeffrey is a great guy and has gotten a raw deal and is a victim of political correctness, which is to be outlawed in a Trump regime."
Wow.
Does that not sound familiar?
Sounds pretty disgusting to me and incriminating.
Yeah, this is insane. And then the last email that was released was also from Michael Wolff in 2019 to Jeffrey Epstein. And it says, victim's name, Mar-a-Lago. Trump said he asked me to resign. Of course, he knew about the girls as he asked Ghislaine to stop. And it's been kind of known and speculated and rumored that Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell used Mar-a-Lago to pick up girls to bring into their sex trafficking ring.
Ugh, gross.
So in all three of these emails, we know that Jeffrey Epstein had something over Donald Trump's head politically, and they knew it. He was, at least appears to be, sexually abusing what are more than likely underage girls, and knowingly allowing employees of his resort to be put into a sex trafficking ring.
Awful.
The president of the United States. I hate this timeline.
It's pretty messed up.
But I think this is a good time to remember that this is not a political sticking point. The Epstein files are not a political game, just like feeding people isn't a political game, just like health insurance isn't a political game. There's a reason behind all of it, and the reason is because people in power abused underage girls in the worst kinds of ways, and now those people in power are the president.
The moral thing to do is to get to the bottom of it. Like there's more, affluent men of power that are in these files and have not been brought to justice for destroying the lives of innocent young women. And the moral thing to do is to get to the bottom of it, no matter what party people belong to. It doesn't matter. Like, what's disgusting is the people covering this up intentionally, which happens to be members of the Republican Party, unfortunately. So that's why it's political.
Yeah, the victims deserve justice, and the rest of them deserve to rot in a jail cell for the rest of their lives. But their power and connections have bought them off so far. That's what has kept them out of the headlines. It's what's kept them out of jail. And it's about time that we've actually taken this up and tried to do something about it. Because speaking of using power and connections to, keep yourself out of legal trouble, Donald Trump, in the midst of, while all of the shutdown resolution news was happening, Donald Trump, pardoned 77 people who were part of his effort to overturn the election in 2020, including Rudy Giuliani, who was like his former lawyer, also the former mayor of New York.
Like when I hear shit like this, just because the president has the power to do things like pardon people doesn't mean it's right. I just hope people understand this. Just because Donald Trump is the president and just because he has the power to pardon people doesn't mean that's right. Like, this is corrupt as all hell. This is not normal. Like, Giuliani and these 76 other people did some really bad things. And granted, they were for the president of the United States. That's why they're getting pardoned, because the president of the United States is also a criminal for many things. But, like, ugh, you just can't make this up anymore.
No. Like, these guys literally tried to overthrow American democracy. We voted the guy back into office, and now they just got to get out of jail free card.
Wow, what a fall from grace. Like, I remember as a youngster when Giuliani was like America's mayor, and like a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people kind of respected the guy. And now it's just like, ooh, getting pardoned for some serious like criminal activity.
Oh, let's see. Oh, the one there's some good news. We'll round out with some good news. For once. Gay marriage gets
Yeah.
to stay legal.
Yes, the gays can still get married.
And Kim Davis can screw off for the
She
rest of
can.
ever.
Yeah. I wish she'd just, leave us alone a little bit.
Yeah.
He keeps coming at us. But yeah, gave me a little boost of energy
Yeah.
yesterday. And the fact like the Supreme Court didn't even take up the case, like they didn't even hear it.
I
Granted, like I still don't necessarily have faith in the current makeup of the Supreme Court that, another attack on gay marriage could still end up on their doorstep. And they may react differently. So I think the LGBTQ plus community still needs to be vigilant and paying attention to
Totally.
what's going on because our right to marry could still be in jeopardy.
Yeah, for sure. What gave me some hope, like you said, they just didn't even choose to look at the case. So there will be no decision and just get sent back to the lower courts. What gave me some hope was that they didn't even comment on the rejection, because usually they'll be like, oh, if you had a different plaintiff with like slightly different standing, or like this one thing about the case was a little different, like then we would take the case. And then you see basically a copy and paste of that case the next year for them to accept. But they didn't leave any comment. They basically said, yeah, you can get out of my face with this. Goodbye.
I love
Don't piss me off. Leave me alone.
it. I love it.
And then the courts came up big for us in Utah this week too. So Utah's participating in the whole gerrymander everything contest that is happening across the United States.
Yeah.
Their state legislature, which is Republican controlled, was like, we're going to redraw these maps and get us more seats, which Republicans already have all four House seats in Utah. You can't create new districts. That's from the census. So Republicans already had all four districts. Okay. So they redraw this map to do what? I'm not really sure. But they redraw this map and they send it to the court and they're like, hey, here's the map we want to put in. And the court's like, yeah, no, we're not doing that map. We're going to do this map from wherever, whatever the other, how, I'm not intimately familiar with Utah's redistricting process, but there was another map that was not drawn by the Republicans. That basically gave all of Salt Lake City to a district. And
Which
that
is
is the,
Democrat.
yeah, and that's the map that the judge chose. So Utah Republicans said, ah ha ha, we already have all the seats, but we're gonna try to gerrymander anyway. And then they lost a freaking seat.
What greed gets you.
Literally. But so the count on that, after that whole weird debacle, the passage of Prop 50, all of those things. I believe it's 9-6 is the score. Republicans have picked up 9 new seats, Democrats have picked up 6 new seats. And so we're at a difference of about 3 extra Republican seats at the moment. If anyone is keeping track, which I think we all should be.
Yeah. Such
Because.
interesting times. Yeah. It'll be, I'm very curious to see how this redistricting stuff plays out over the course of time between now and election 2028. Yeah, it's wild.
So, Andy, just to give a follow-up, now that the government will be reopening, SNAP benefits should be going out in full. Hypothetically, that's how it's supposed to work. Nothing's for sure with this administration, of course, but they might be a little late, but they should come out in full, given that the government should reopen tonight.
Great. Well, on that note, Montana Democrats are still doing food drives all across the state to ensure that our people are fed no matter what. So in Missoula specifically, we're participating in the Can the Cats food drive because we got to can those cats. Go Grizz. Woo!
Go Grizz. Sorry, y'all.
So if you're in the Missoula, Western Montana area, you're welcome to participate. We've got drop-off locations and we can also do pickups. So more information on
Sweet.
our social media.
Awesome. That's fantastic, Andy. So yeah, if you this is a great time to clean out your pantry anyway. I know I'm really guilty of this, of like keeping like random collections of cans that I'm never gonna eat at the back of my pantry. If you don't use it, if you're not gonna eat it, there's quite a few of our neighbors who will. But just some numbers from the party food drive that we've had this month. There was a food drive in Yellowstone County, and Yellowstone County raised about 1,000 pounds.
Amazing.
We had about
Wow.
250 pounds in Hill County, up by Havre,
Great.
and then
Go
in
Havre.
Flathead County.
All right.
Ravalli County down in the Bitterroot raised about 1,000 pounds of food.
Wow.
Yeah. And
Excellent.
then between Custer County, Dawson County, and Anaconda Deer Lodge, we raised about $1,500 in donations. And that's because those food banks were specifically asking for money as opposed to goods.
Super cool.
So
Yeah,
let
and
us
on that
know.
note, straight up cash is also very helpful for food banks, especially during this time, because there's some things that they need specifically, and cash is king, and they can just take care of that immediately. So, if you
Totally.
got cash rather than food, that also goes a long way for your local
Yeah,
food bank.
totally. Well, folks, show up for your communities. Keep an eye on the news because this shutdown mess is not over yet. And we will see you next week. See ya.
Take care.